Now, friends, seeking the light of God's Spirit on His Word, we turn again to that passage that we read earlier, and for those who've just joined us, we read together in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John, in chapter 14. Gospel according to John, in chapter 14, and we're going to read just now at verse 6. John 14, reading at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, that is to Thomas, who had asked a question, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I intend, God willing, to look with you over the next 3 Sabbath mornings at this verse, which contains, as you have already noticed, one of the I Am sayings of the Lord. Now, children, I wonder if you remember any of the I Am sayings of the Lord. That's what we mean by that is sayings of the Lord which begin with I Am. Sayings in which he attempts to demonstrate to us by various pictures and illustrations who he is, what he does, and what he is like. Now, I'm sure you could remember one or two of them. I am the good shepherd, for instance. I am the door. Well, here we are. I am the way, he says. I am the truth. I am the life. And what I'd like to do is to look in turn at these 3 words that the Lord uses here. So today we'll look at the Lord saying, I am the way. Then, if we're spared next week, we'll see what he means when he says, I am the truth. And then finally, I am the life. And of course, it goes without saying, it's obvious that the way and the truth and the life that the Lord is speaking of is a spiritual way, a spiritual truth, and spiritual life. He doesn't mean merely that in some vague, some vague moral way, he shows us the way by giving us a good example. Of course he does that. No one denies that. Or that in some vague way he gives us better life. It's not something vague and shallow and woolly like that the Lord is concerned with. He means far, far more, of course, than that. But we better come back to our text. And as we come to the first of these today, I want us to notice, first of all, that Jesus shows us the way. Jesus shows us the way. In regard to our soul, in regard to spiritual things, which is what the Lord is concerned with, of course, primarily, in regard to these things, Jesus shows us the way. Now, 2 things about that. First of all, the disciples needed someone to show them the way. The disciples needed someone to show them the way. In verses 4 and 5, there's clearly confusion in the minds of the disciples. They had been in the Lord's company for about 3 years. They had seen a lot, they had heard a lot, they had learned a lot, no doubt. But still, for all of that, there's clearly confusion in their minds. And that confusion comes out in what Thomas says in the previous verse. Thomas is confused, and he wasn't alone amongst the disciples to be confused. He needed a guide. But then secondly, we also need a guide. Because the truth is that without it, because of the effect that sin has had on our understanding and on our perception and on our souls, we will never find our way spiritually. We will always, without the guidance and leading and showing of the way that the Lord is able to give us, we will be stumbling and confused and going in every manner of wrong direction. There are so many questions that are too big for us to answer by ourselves. Now children, and those of you who are getting a bit older, those of you who are teenagers, you will be considering and struggling with some of these very questions. And if you're not now, then you soon will be. Questions such as, how can I have peace with God? How can I have hope for my soul and for eternity? How can I have this eternal life that the Word of God speaks about? Questions such as, how should I live? What should I be like? What is life all about? All of these questions, and a million more, no doubt. And in the darkness, we need a light. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said elsewhere, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He can guide us. He is supremely qualified to lead us. I was reading this week about a man who went on holiday to Wales, and he was going along with his wife to a self-catering cottage, and he looked at the maps and he thought he knew where he was going. But he was later in leaving than he expected to be, and by the time he reached the area, it was getting dark. And you know what it's like yourselves, trying to find your way in a strange place in the dark. There's nothing as confusing and hopeless as it. And he went this way, and he went that way, and he ended up in, I can't remember how many dead ends. And eventually he had to try to find the number of the man who was renting the property, and he found the number, and he called him on his phone, and the man came. And the man said, well, you weren't actually that far away from the place. He said, I'll go ahead of you in my car, you follow me and you. And he said, in a moment, in a few minutes, we were there. I'd been going round and round in circles, trying to find my way. I needed somebody to guide me. And if that's true, in matters as simple and straightforward as finding a self-catering cottage, how much more true is it in regard to spiritual things, in regard to the things of our soul? And here is one who is ready and willing and able to show us the way, ready to guide our souls, ready to be the captain of your salvation. The only question, of course, that hangs from that is your readiness to be led by him. That's the first thing. Jesus shows us the way. But we must go further than that. We must take another step as we grapple with this. Secondly, Jesus made the way. Jesus made the way. He's not showing us a way that someone else made. He made the way. Now I'll explain in a moment more of what that way is. But I want us first of all to grasp this basic point that without the saving work of Jesus, the maker of the way, there would be no way to show. Not only does he show us the way, but he has made the way. He has made the way, as he says in this verse itself, to Almighty God. He has made the way to the Father. We spent last winter, didn't we, going through Genesis 3 together on Sabbath mornings. We saw what happened in this perfect world that had been created. We saw sin coming in and we saw the disaster that it brought with it. Children, you remember. And we saw the separation that occurred between God and man. We saw that the way was closed because of rebellion and the consequences of rebellion. But now we have one who says, I can open up the way. I can make the way. In me and through me and because of what I am and what I have done, there is a way of access into the presence of the Father himself. He made the way. And in connection with that, there's something we have to beware of. We have to beware of trying ourselves to make a way. We must not try to take over the work that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has said that all our efforts will be doomed to failure. Because friends, we don't have the power. We don't have the holiness. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the authority to make the way. We have none of these things. We needed someone with power and authority and wisdom and holiness who could open up a way whereby we could be reconciled to God. We wouldn't know where to start. You know that bridge they're working on down the road there just now? They've been at it for weeks. It's obviously quite a big job. Now, there were all sorts of people involved in that. There were to be planners and architects and surveyors. And you see yourselves every time you stop there at the traffic light. All the people that are working away. They're making a way. They're making that bridge. Now, can you imagine if they were to ask babies, the smallest of children, to go and do that work? If they were going to ask a baby of 6 months old or even the little ones from the nursery to come along, we want you to go to Scabus, we want you to build that bridge. Well, they couldn't. They wouldn't know where to begin to do the work. No, that work up the road there, it needed skill, it needed ability, it needed power, it needed experience, it needed all of these things and a host of money beside. And in the same way, friends, we need one who can make a way, whose power and authority and wisdom is far, far greater than ours. He made the way. Remember that man in Wasi, Callum MacLeod, I think. He made a way, didn't he? Callum's Road, they call it. Maybe some of you have been on it. In order to make a path to his own door, he began to work. And he worked, and what a work it was to make that road. And that road bears his name. He's long gone, but everybody who goes there goes to see Calum's Road. Well, here, friends, we have one who has made a way. And no doubt, Calum's Road has the imperfections that would mark all of our work. But all the way that this one has made is a perfect way. It's a golden way. It's an established and sure and certain way. He has made the way. And before I leave that, I must add this as well. Not only did he make the way, but he paid for the way. He paid for the way. I'll say more about that in a moment. But let's remind ourselves that he paid for it. Now, you know, making roads is very expensive. I didn't realize that until a couple of years ago. I can't remember how much it costs to make a, a mile of motorway or something. It's a horrific figure. Well, friends, this way is more expensive than any other way. Oh, what it cost. What it cost in order to open up a way of access to God in a broken, fallen world. He paid for the way. And he paid for it with his very life. Jesus shows us the way. And that's a blessing. Jesus made the way. And that's an even greater blessing. But thirdly, we must come back to the verse because it's saying more than that. It's saying Jesus himself is the way. Not only does he show it, not only does he make it and pay for it, but ultimately he himself is the way. The way to what? Well, first of all, he is the way to the Father. He is the way to God the Father. Indeed, Christ is the way from God to man and from man to God. And he is ideally qualified for that because he is the God-man. He understands us from the viewpoint of his own experience. Now there's a mystery in connection with that. We know that as the eternal Son of God, his knowledge and experience is limitless. But we know also that having become man and having lived in this world, he has an experience that, for instance, the angels don't have, and an understanding that they don't have. He is the way to the Father. And he calls us to repent and to come to the Father in order to be pardoned, in order to be adopted. And you say, how can I? I don't know the way. And the Lord says, friend, you don't need to look any further. I am the way. You will come through me. You will come by me. I have opened up the way, and I myself am the way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to peace. The way to peace. Maybe you say, well, I like the sound of peace. But how can I have peace of conscience? There are times, you say, when I'm troubled. Troubled by things in my past, things in my present, things that I know are not right. Troubled when I think of the future. Oh, that I had peace of conscience. That I had peace with God. Maybe you say, I knew a Christian and, you know, they had incredible peace within them and in their lives. How can I have that? How can I find that? Where will I find that? Well, he is the way to peace. Coming to the Father in the name of Christ. Coming to the Father for the sake of Christ. Coming to the Father as we did earlier in prayer. And acknowledging the reality of our fallen, sinful condition. And yet saying, for Jesus' sake, receive us. And bless us. And give us peace. He is the way to peace. Because he bore the penalty of the broken law. You remember what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And then listen to this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to peace. He is the way to life. I don't have time to stop at this just now. But I am come, he said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And what sort of way is he? Well, he's a safe way. He's a safe way. You know, there are some ways, and children, again, you know this, there are some ways that aren't good and that aren't safe. There are some tracks, and they lead you to dangerous places. They lead you to dead ends. And life is full of tracks that will take us the wrong way. To dangerous places and to dead ends. But all the Lord Jesus Christ is a safe way. It's safe to follow him. It's safe to be with him. I am the good shepherd, he said. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I came across this poem the other day. I am the way. Each other path is dismal swamp or fraud. I stand alone. I am the way to God. Each other path is dismal swamp or fraud. Ah, he's a safe way. You can rest on him. You can rest your soul on him. And you know, if you were to ask the Lord's people today, they would say with one voice, absolutely unanimous, oh, he is safe. And he is good. And he is the best of the best. You know, if you had two of them, they would agree on that. And if you had 10 of the Lord's people, they would agree on that. And supposing we gathered 1,000 of them out there in the car park, you know this? All 1,000 would say it. And I would ask them, I would say, has he ever let you down? And they would say, no, we've let him down many a time. He's never let us down. I would say, has he ever led you in the wrong way? No, they would quote us. Sometimes I've gone in the wrong way because I've taken my eye off him. But oh, he has never put me wrong. He has never led me wrong. He has never done me wrong. He is a safe way. Secondly, what sort of way is he? He is a free way. He is a free way. The Sky Bridge is toll free now. For a while, of course, you would drive along and you would come to these wee huts and you handed over your money and that was it. You went on your way. Well, this is a free way. The way to God, the way to life, the way to the Father, the way to peace, it's a free way. Sometimes we forget that. Oftentimes we forget that. And we say, well, what can I pay? Maybe I'll bring a bag of good works and I'll put that down and I'll say, well, that's it, that'll pay the way. No, friends. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a freeness. Oh, it wasn't free for him. It's not a cheap way. That's not what I mean. I said already that it cost him a lot to make the way. But having opened up the way, he doesn't want anything from us. It's free. The way is free. Thirdly, it's a narrow way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. It's a narrow way. We might as well reckon with that as well. There is a broad way, but it doesn't lead to life. Oh, it's a narrow way. You know something else, it's an open way. Maybe you're saying, can I come on that way? Will I be trespassing if I come on this way? Will somebody come along and shoo me out of the way? No, you come. It's an open way. Wide open. There's none too young. There's none too old. There's none too unlikely. Oh, it's an open way. Whosoever will. And as Spurgeon used to say, you can't get much wider than that, can you? And you are whosoever. And we're all whosoever, of course. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him find in and through the Lord Jesus Christ life and peace and hope and everything else that Christ has to give us. What's the way, says Thomas? Thomas says, I am the way. And I am exclusively the way. Well, you say, how can I make it my way? How can I make it my way? Well, can I put a question to you? For please thy way, then beginneth thy way. How will you get to Portree? Well, you say, what's a strange question. You would go out the gate and you would walk or drive that way. You would drive on it. The same thing for Burnetsdale and all the way round. You would go to it and you would drive on it. And how can you make this way your way? Well, by coming to it. By coming to it. And by going on it. It's there. And it's open. And it's free. And it's accessible. But you might say to me, well, I want to go to Portree. Well, if you sit in the pew here, you will never get to Portree. You'll still be here tomorrow and you'll still be here next week. There is a going and an applying and a moving of ourselves to get there. Ah, but you might say, because you're a little bit fatalistic, you'll say, well, if I'm meant to get to Portree, I'll get to Portree. Not if you stay sitting in the pew, friend. And in the same way, if we are to have these blessings I've been trying to speak about, we must go to him. We must go for them. We must reach out our hand and take what he is so ready to give. Jesus said, I am the way. And if we're spiritual next time, we'll take the next step on the ladder.